You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Buckle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program, Evan Bland, is here to talk some spring ball with us. We are excited to get to Evan momentarily. First, Common Fans, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the free newsletter. Follow all the social media accounts. Subscribe on YouTube. You can do it all at commonfan.co. Spring ball is almost over, which means football season will be right around the corner, and you're going to want to keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese beef, Nebraska's finest beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. And guess what? If you use the promo code Common Fan, all one word, Common Fan, you can get whatever you want shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Go to cpbeef.com, use the promo code Common Fan, and get all the beef your heart desires. Evan Bland, friend of the program. I think this is the first time in 2025. Do we call this a view from the Bland stands, or is that our special? Was that our special series last fall?
I mean, that's up to you. However you want to brand this. There's no games, so I don't know. I did go to open practice twice, so we can say there were some Bland stands viewing in that sense. Sure, okay. Let's do it.
It's a Bland stands episode, everyone.
It's another Bland stands.
Well, welcome back.
We've missed you. Have you missed us?
Yeah. I mean, my Tuesday nights, like they were too open, man. I didn't know what to do. Yeah, so
didn't even know what to do with yourself.
Would you say they were empty? Did your heart feel a longing for the Common Fans?
I don't know if I would say there was a longing, but this centers me. This brings me back. You know, I was drifting Tuesday nights, didn't have a lot of purpose. They were too relaxed.
Yep.
And so here we are, like the pilot lights kind of lit in my soul again. So there's some drive going on here.
Outstanding.
So thank you guys. Thank you.
What an analogy.
We need to put that on a Common Fan t-shirt. The pilot light is lit in my soul again because of the Common Fans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Tighten it up a little bit. wow. That's fantastic. So, you've been spending a lot of time at practice, or as much as you can. And Dana, so this episode will be out Monday. We're talking to Evan a few nights before that, right after Dana Holgorsen talked to the media. Evan, what did you make of his comments today? We'll get into some of the specifics, but big picture, how's Mr. Holgorsen looking? How do you think he feels the offense is progressing? What did you take away from what he had to say today?
Yeah, he's always appointment listening, appointment viewing. Like, there are so many members of Matt Rhule's staff are very, sensitive to, like, hey, he's the head coach, and so there are certain things he's going to talk about. Dana Holgorsen, as we all know by now, is very forthcoming to the point of being blunt. As a former head coach himself, like, he's going to tell you what he sees. And so, like, I thought it was illuminating his thoughts on all kinds of things offensively, like his breakdown of the center battle, I thought brought clarity to that position that we didn't really have. His praise of a couple of true freshmen early enrollee receivers was eye-opening, I think, for what they can be in the fall. His breakdown of the running backs was good. I asked him a question about the transfer portal, and he was kind of joking, like, you know, what? Are you trying to put me in a bad mood? I'm just happy to be coaching ball here. But I think it's funny because you think back to how his origin story at Nebraska, dropping, kind of parachuting in November after losing the UCLA game and just drinking out of a fire hose. And as tough as that was, I think you're starting to see now the payoff for that. So he's not new to the program in February. Like, he hit the ground running in November and December. And so he knows these guys' names now. He's got a sense for what they want to do offensively. He's learned the terminology, and they've kind of figured out bridge that gap between what he wants to do and what Nebraska already was doing. So I just think you see a guy who's a little calmer, who's got that quiet confidence, a little bit of swagger for what this offense can be. He's really impressed with Dylan Raiola as a quarterback who can do things that he's never coached a quarterback who could do before. And he interjects some humor along the way as well. So always fun to talk with him. I wish we could talk with him every week, but he was pretty enlightening for sure.
Absolutely. This is the Dana that I was like looking forward to getting. As a college football nut, knowing him from, going back to Oklahoma State, and Mike Gundy's staff, and then to West Virginia and Houston, and knowing he's just kind of a character, right? Like you kind of watch and follow, okay, which coaches are a little bit kooky, a little bit of a character. And I've always loved kind of his demeanor and his style. And you put it really well, Evan. Like he is forthcoming to the point of like being blunt. And that's something that struck me watching that presser today. And you kind of alluded to the staff not getting into things that, more coach rules, things that he would talk about. But I think they're all pretty savvy with the media. And I find that really refreshing. Like it doesn't feel like there's, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't feel like there's really any position coaches that get up there and are bristly or aren't going to get into things and talk about certain things with the media.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there are some assistants who are just more general in their comments. And I think anyone who watches the press conferences can probably name who those guys are. There's probably three or four that just are really hesitant to praise specific guys. And there could be a variety of reasons for that. Maybe nobody specifically deserves the praise. I think you have to factor in this era, how much do you want to praise one person when you're starting to talk about rev share coming about, because maybe that person who's being praised says, "Hey, maybe I deserve a little more," and maybe some of the other guys competing say, "Well, what chance do I have here? Maybe I need to start thinking about going elsewhere." So I think there are some other factors that play into that, but I mean, but that's just who Holgorsen is. Like he's the way that he talks to his players, I think, has been effective. And in a different way too. I mean, you go back to last fall when he talked to about the receivers blocking and saying, "You guys aren't blocking worth a crap." Like just putting it real bluntly. Like you don't need to sugarcoat it beyond that at all. And he was the same way today, talking about different things. I thought his comment about Justin Evans, who's the front runner to be the center in the fall, was really good when he said, "Hey, you kind of have this mentality of being an undersized overachiever." He's like, "Forget that. You're a dude." And that's exactly right. Like I talked to that guy out of high school, and that's what he said. It was like, "Everyone says I'm too small, but I've got this chip on my shoulder." And Holgorsen says, "You're a dude. Just go be a dude. Like we believe in you at center." So like he has a way of just sort of cutting through the red tape and a lot of the noise and getting through to guys. And it makes for fun discussions in the media. I think it makes for clarifying conversations as a player. You know where you stand. There's a lot of value in that. And again, he's still only been with the program for 5 months. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing continues to evolve once we get to next season.
No kidding.
I'm sure Jeff wants to jump on the follow up on the Dylan Raiola comment or something along those lines.
Wait,
But real quick,
what are you
so
talking about? I don't understand what you're what do you mean?
I just a guess, Jeff, just a hunch. But Evan, so just on the Evans thing, was that new information? The fact, because he's been a guard too. So like the fact that it sounds like he's not only playing center, he's likely to start at center. Was that new information? It's possible I missed it this spring,
No,
or
it
was it
is.
after?
Like
That's
it
what I
was
thought.
like here, this is a great example of like the Holgorsen effect in terms of getting information out. So you go into the spring and you knew that Justin Evans was in the mix. He was the backup center behind Ben Scott the last couple of years. But they also have Sam Sledge, who they recruited a couple of years ago specifically to be a center eventually. Jason Mechaychock was another kid who started on the defensive line and now he's on the O line who took some snaps. And so like there was ideas specifically with Sledge that, whoa, maybe if he has a big spring, then Evans can stay at guard and you can kind of piece together the line that way. Donovan Raiola, the position coach, spoke last week and was complimentary of everybody. Said, yeah, Sledge is doing a good job. Evans is doing a good job. But when you have the OC coming out today, or as we're taping this thing, and saying, yeah, I mean, it's Justin Evans, and then there's quite a bit of a drop off for everybody else. Like that clarifies the picture and says, okay, yeah, this looks very much like Justin Evans is the favorite instead of just a contender. And now when you start talking about the offensive line, you're building around that. You're going to need another left guard, the spot that Evans has held down the last couple of years. Maybe that's Henry Lutosky. Maybe that's a number of different guys who could possibly fill in that spot. But it's a good example of, I think, how Holgorsen is his straight talk has helped inform the fan base. I think it's helped inform our discussion, and it just makes for better conversations as we go through the spring, especially a spring where we're not going to see a game at the end of it.
I listened, well, you'll be surprised by this. I listened to the entire thing from start to finish, Evan. And
Right.
the one thing that I noticed,
Wow.
yeah, I know,
Jeff,
right, guys? I did
good
my
job.
homework. I know, I listened to
Good
the whole
job,
thing.
Jeff.
Thank you.
Good
After
job,
that,
Jeff.
after a long, grueling day of yard work, I mean, it was tough, but I listened to the whole thing. So there was a lot of things that were thrown out there that were, you expected to hear, like, and he said the term Emmitt is Emmitt. So we know where he stands as far as the running back game goes. Was there anything that jumped out to you, maybe surprised you from today's press conference? Anything that came out of the blue that you weren't or that you weren't expecting to hear?
Well, I thought I kind of mentioned it earlier, but like what Holgorsen said about Cortez Mills and Isaiah Mosey was illuminating. I mean, those were two former high school All-Americans, four-star kids who could have gone to a whole bunch of high-end Power Four teams, chose Nebraska. And so you knew that like the ceiling was there, but to hear him say that, like in plain language, yeah, they're going to contribute in the fall and
Yeah.
they might have the highest one-on-one success rate in the reps that they do of anybody. Like I thought that was notable for sure that they were going to be a part of that. And I thought, I don't know if you heard Nisaiah Hunter speak, but he's one of the receiver transfers from Cal. I thought some of his insight was good just about the receiver position and what he's all about. That was kind of the first time that he's really spoken publicly about why he came to Nebraska and his journey. So that was interesting. And then the other thing I would say too was we got a better sense of the running back pecking order. And I think we knew Emmett Johnson was RB1, but the ascension of Quentin Ives, especially coming off of the bowl game, like that was a big December for him to build momentum and confidence into this year. It looks like it, all the more that he's going to be that short yardage guy that Dante Dowdell was for Nebraska last year. And then, just updates on some of the other guys. I think Mekhi Nelson is a fascinating running back that you haven't heard a lot about. And I think that might be intentional because the coaches like what they have in him. And then you've got, Jamarian Parker, who I think could be a really good back for them eventually, has been working through some injuries. Connor Booth, in-state kid from Wahoo, kind of the same deal. Like those guys eventually could be good, but they still could be in high school. They graduated early, and so they're working. So I thought getting an update on that running back room was pretty interesting too, with Emmett and then what they've got behind him.
Nice.
I saw Berthel said, they're really like Ives has gained like 30 pounds and he stays on him to make sure he's eating what they want him to eat to make sure he keeps his weight up. And I just thought to myself, I wish I had that problem. Like, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be
Keep
nice?
eating more, TJ. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
Have
dropping
you
a few
eaten? Have you
LBs.
eaten enough today? Are you keeping that weight up? Yeah. Unfortunately,
A
that's not
protein
happening.
shake. Come
Yeah,
on.
exactly.
Clif Bar.
Exactly. So Evan, it's interesting because Ives, even like I feel like they've been high on Ives for a long time. I think his only snap in the bowl game was that goal line carry where he scored a touchdown. I mean, and then thinking about some of the other guys you mentioned, it's entirely unproven after Emmett, right? I mean, I know they're, I think, maybe excited about some of them, but like, is that a little bit precarious? Do you think there is a chance that they look at the portal post spring ball?
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion because you're right. Like, other than Emmett, you don't have anybody really with any tangible amount of college production or track record. What's interesting is they went through all of December and January, and they brought in a ton of portal visitors, obviously. It made 16, really, they made 17 additions. Two of them have left already for behavioral reasons, but of all the visitors that they brought in, I don't believe they brought in a single running back, even to look to check out the facilities or to gauge interest or anything, which tells you that like they do have a lot of confidence in that room. And so like I think in a lot of ways the portal makes coaches, you know, put their roster spots where their mouths are, so to speak. Like it's one thing to say, yeah, I have confidence in this position, but then if you go out and you're bringing in a parade of prospects, like that pretty much tells you all you need to know. So, you know, we'll find out next week. The portal opens here in mid-April for 10 days, and I think we're going to get another sort of temperature check on what these coaches think of some of these spots. You know, if they're not impressed with what they saw at running back, then you're going to see portal visitors at that spot. I don't anticipate that. I think what Holgorsen and Barthel said today would lead me to believe that they continue to feel good about what that position group can be. But we'll find out. And that doesn't just go for running backs. Like I think there are other positions that you can look at. You know, does Nebraska pursue another offensive lineman? That was a spot that they swung at some high-end guys at in December and January and eventually got some. But you go back to that, well, do you add another defensive lineman? Like that's a spot too where you're moving on from all your starters last year. So I think just as much as like who's going to leave, and there will be some guys that leave as they continue to whittle that roster, is what are the positions that they bring in? Because I think that speaks louder than anything they're going to say in these availabilities about how they feel at those spots going into the fall.
Yeah, you know, and I to piggyback off of that for the portal conversation, the question that you asked. I mean, speaking of people leaving, like he seems pretty, I don't know, how to probably say confident, because I mean, he quoted, I think from what I was seeing here, he said, "If I was anybody on this football team, there would not be anything that I would be upset about." And it just sounds like the team as a whole, in his mind, seems to be pretty solid and pretty good in his eyes. Am I wrong in thinking that? He makes it sound like there's probably nothing to worry about when the transfer portal opens up.
Yeah, I mean, from a football perspective, I mean, guys are getting chances, like he said. Guys are treated really well in terms of the training table, the meals that they get, 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, the academic help, the NIL compensation that they're getting. And this is a guy who's, as we know, has been around college football. He's been a head coach in a lot of places and an assistant coach before that. So like he can speak to just the level of regard and treatment that Nebraska players get. And so, I mean, really, what's left out there to want elsewhere? Maybe a little playing time, maybe a little more money, possibly. But as he said, like if you can play, like you're getting the chance at almost every position right now to do that. So we'll see. The other interesting thing about the roster spots, and I'm going to be writing about this here soon when the portal opens, is there's actually some uncertainty now about that 105-man roster. If you've been following the NCAA versus House settlement process, some of the dialogue this week from the presiding judge was maybe you can grandfather in some of these players that are already on teams and you don't have to kick them off and whittle down to 105 immediately. Maybe that's something that you could ease into. And that was new information. Like that was something, it was widely assumed that people are just going to have to, teams are going to have to cut all the way down. And so now that changes the tenor of things a little bit. And the timing is interesting because you might get resolution on that one way or another next week. And that's going to coincide when the portal opens up. These guys are going to have to make decisions. Do you risk staying, knowing that you may end up getting cut if it goes one way, or do you move on and maybe regret it because you could have stayed in the end? So a lot of the timing of it's fascinating. Going to be some tough decisions for guys, for coaches. But that just sort of adds another layer to the competition and maybe the sense of urgency that they're going through right now.
What a crazy time.
Crazy. I know.
And then, you know what? I kind of like that. That's the first I've heard of that, of the grandfathering thing. Because it just, you know what, TJ, you know, you've got experience in this field. It'd be unconstitutional to make those kids, to cut them or kick them off the team, tell them they got to go somewhere else.
Well,
I think they let them stay.
I think the constitutionality question's a bit unclear here, Matthew, but I appreciate you saying that. what a mess. I mean, you've done it again, NCAA, and I know like it's in the courts at this point, but like just talk, all of this comes back to an unbelievable failure of leadership by the NCAA going back many years and probably decades. But like, what an unbelievable mess. Like, what if there are kids that already, Rhule, to his credit, I think, has been upfront and honest with guys so that they can go find another place to play. What are those kids that already left that could have been there? I mean, what an un
Yeah,
what a
what a
just
mess.
disaster.
It is. I mean, but what can you do? Like that, what they knew in December
No, sure, yeah.
was like that was what it was going to be. And so you, if you're the coach, like you want to help the guys at least find a landing spot, find somewhere to play. And I think it'll work out for some of them. But I mean, there were guys that dreamed of going to Nebraska and that wanted to play there. And the coaches made sure to tell every guy, hey, if the 105 was set right now, you'd either be on the team or you wouldn't. And they told each of these guys and they made decisions based on that. So yeah, I mean, school's been waiting months for clarity on what the rules are going to be starting in July moving forward. It's still not assured that rev share in its current form is going to be approved. It looks like it will be, but I mean, you're talking about major programs and powers that are still waiting here in mid-April to know what the rules are going to be for
Yeah.
next year. Not a good situation.
And
No.
pardon my ignorance here, the revenue sharing that you keep talking about, is that the university actually paying players, almost like putting them like on?
It's not pardon, Jeff. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, that's what that'll be. That
Yeah.
allows universities to directly pay the athletes, and they have a pot of $20.5 million this year that'll get spread out between sports, and then within sports, it'll be spread out to players at the discretion of coaches and how they want to do that. So every school's going
Okay.
to do it probably a little bit different. The general template is that football is going to get roughly 75% of that $20.5 million rev share pot. And that's a number that's probably going to increase as the years go on. But that's going to remove a lot of the NIL deals that have gone on. NIL will still exist, but it's allegedly at least going to be more stringent in terms of the deals. There's going to be a kind of an audit of NIL deals, whereas right now you're seeing really it's pay for play at this point with a
Yeah.
lot of what schools are doing. And you've seen major deals go through now because schools are trying to get ahead of the rule change that's coming up.
And they're calling it revenue
Right.
share, right? Instead of like a salary, so that the
They're not an
players,
employee.
students, yeah, can't be classified as employees, right? Because
I gotcha.
there's a whole different host of issues,
I
including
see.
unionizing, that come with
A
that, right? And
workaround, if
I
you will, a
gotcha.
workaround.
Okay.
Yep, they don't
I
want to call it
will,
a
Matt. I
salary
will.
cap. They're not employees. The terms are very intentional. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they were employees, TJ, you have open enrollment for insurance benefits for these kids. Nobody wants to go through that. Open enrollment's the most boring
Nobody
thing ever.
wants to listen to Geoff's presentations
Yeah, you don't want to hear me do
about
a 401k presentation.
your
You don't want
401k.
any of that. You don't
Oh.
want any of that.
What's the match? You got
Max out your match,
the
guys.
third string
It's a good
quarterback asking you what
match.
the
Max
401k match is.
out. Does the third stringer get the same match as the starter?
It's a tiered
You
system.
have
It's
to.
slave
If they're
labor,
going by
Matt.
ERISA rules, TJ,
Look at you guys.
Oh, we're
Wow.
getting into the
You
weeds
gotta
now.
stop. Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
So, sorry, if anybody's still with us, we're going to get back to football here in a minute.
They a 338
Well,
fiduciary or not? Just
oh,
curious.
stop. Please
Yeah.
stop. So speaking of, since we're talking about the quarterback room and the quarterback depth, is Granddad Gramstad your number two guy? Is that where we are right now?
Yeah, yep, that's where we are. I mean, Dylan Raiola, Jalen Gramstad, who's was a 4-year NAIA guy, obviously wanted a high level there and now came back for that extra year because of the NCAA ruling that said players that were playing in non-Division I levels could have another year. So he's back. Dylan Raiola wanted him back. The coaching staff wanted him back. He's a guy who's going to be a coach within a few years of being done. Like that's pretty clear. And then you've got your true freshman and TJ Lateef who came. You have the Purdue transfer Davala from who was a 4-star kid who redshirted a year ago, and some of your walk-on guys too. So It's kind of how it's shaping up. You hope that you don't see what that offense would look like if it were Graham's dad's, unless it's in a mop-up duty sort of situation. But they feel good about what he could do. And again, he did win at a pretty high level at the NAIA level before. So that's where they're feeling right now.
Wow. A little bit, it's a little bit unnerving, at least for me. I don't know. I mean, I like the experience that granddad has, but I don't know. It's a little bit unnerving to me.
I feel the same way, and maybe we're snobs looking down our noses at the
Well,
NAIA, but
no, I don't think it's that. I think it's that for years and years, it's always felt like we have our guy, our main guy, and then at beyond him is just
and
kind
then
of
Riker
like,
Fife.
eh. Yeah, like I mean, and nothing against Riker Fife. I mean, the guy could sling a football, but I don't know if he was, the caliber of quarterback that we need at the University of Nebraska.
Or Matt Masker, or Luke
There's too
McCaffrey,
many,
or
like
Noah
Andrew Bunch.
Vedrill,
Throw Andrew Bunch in there.
Andrew Bunch,
Ron
Kellogg the third.
Hey, he threw one of the most famous passes in Nebraska football history. So,
That he did. That he did. That it is,
yeah, I
Edward.
don't know. It's just a little. It makes me a little nervous, but but beyond granddad, then you've got like a highly touted recruit, true, but it's a true freshman again. And we've seen last year with a, arguably number one quarterback in the country coming in as a true freshman. He did okay at some points, but certainly looked like a true freshman more than he didn't. And that's one of the most talented kids in the country. So I just, you don't want to really go down that path again, but
Let's just
always
hope
these
they can keep
Governors.
Dylan upright.
Yeah.
Hey,
Hey, offensive line, let's go. Let's go, fellas.
speaking of Dylan.
Oh, there it is, Jeff.
Yeah.
There it is.
Speaking.
I knew it. I
Evan,
knew it.
how is he? How is he? Does he talk about me? Does he ask about me?
Jeff, I bet he smells good.
No, he's settling into his own, right?
Is
Like
that's really your question, Jeff?
No,
That's really your question.
I'm curious, just how is he doing this year? Like, obviously we're gonna need him to, be the guy, as we've talked about in the past. But is he getting is he are they all meshing together? Like, I know that Holgorsen during the press conference said that him and Dane Key were getting used to each other and getting on the same page. Is things going well? I would imagine they gotta be going, somewhat okay, right?
You know the old adage, like half of the battle is just showing up. Like he shows up with the best of them, and not just in football. Like he was down in Las Vegas for Nebraska basketball in the Crown.
Yes, he was.
He supports like crazy. He's at all the volleyball matches. And we've gotten little kind of anecdotes here and there this spring about his impact. Dane Key said that he was a major reason why he transferred in. And Isaiah Hunter had really high praise for him. He said when he went into the portal, the very first text communication of any kind he got from any coach, from any school, was from Dylan Raiola and was like, we want you. And he said, wow, I felt the love. And that was a big reason why Nebraska got him. You go through the transfer season, some of the high school recruiting, and guys will tell you like Ryle is there with the coaches right next to him, going through the official visits and facility tours, doing all that stuff. He's a guy who's in the facility early. He took boxing lessons this off season, this winter, and so he was in early doing that before class. He helped throw for the pro day that Nebraska put on. So like he's a guy who is everywhere. All winter he was at high school basketball games with Emmett Johnson. Those guys showed up. So like the talent piece has been obvious for a while as a guy who's a former five star. But I think the intangible piece has really been on display in the last few months, especially. I mean, as he's transitioned from this freshman trying to fit in and to gain respect from a lot of older guys. Now he's becoming that voice, being one of those players that's universally respected on the team. And you think about like some of Nebraska's quarterbacks in the last 10, 15 years, like not all of them were comfortable in the public eye. Not all of them wanted or were naturally leaders. And he just puts in the time, man. Like he does it on top of all the talent and all the stuff that we talk about. You think about like the talking point a month or so ago was about his body weight And can he get down? Can he get slimmer to be a little more fleet of foot? And you see him, and he looks like he is. I mean, I think he's put in that work, and he said, yeah, it sucks, and you know, I want to eat more, and I'm kind of a bigger guy by nature, but he's put in that work too. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it's going to come down to just the game stuff. You know, when the moment comes, is he making the throws? Is he tucking the ball and running when he needs to? But like all the stuff around the game that you want in a quarterback, it really feels like he's been demonstrating it pretty consistently.
Yeah,
All the leadership stuff. I mean, it just sounds like he's
Yeah.
kind of the X factor. That didn't Hunter say he'd be like Raiola would be the first guy invited to his wedding or something?
Yeah, he did. He's like, I'm not even getting married right now, but he's like, when I do, that guy, he's going to be my first Indian.
That's hilarious.
That's good to hear. You want that kind of relationship with a quarterback and receiver.
I mean, you want a guy that cares. Like, if the quarterback doesn't care, like it's licensed for everyone else to not care as much. If he cares as much as he does, and it's pretty obvious that he does, or he's not going to invest the amount of time that he is, then what's the point?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's being compensated well from an NIL perspective, and he's become the face of the program, but he's putting in the time, man. He's earning it on
He
the
is.
back end, and it's, you know, not many freshman quarterbacks were season-long starters the way that he just was. So they weathered the learning curve. It wasn't a bad learning curve, but it was a learning curve. And you know, I think you're going to start to see that pay off next season in some form too.
Gosh, that's going
Well,
to be
and
fun.
I mean, you talk about, I mean, Nebraska has been, you know, the receiver the transfer portal class at receiver in particular has been highly touted by folks outside of Nebraska as well as in Nebraska, with Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter in particular. And like, you think, like, I don't know, to me, it's a huge deal that a big reason for that is that the starting quarterback took an active role in their recruitment. That's that story you just shared, Evan, about him texting Hunter before anybody else. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I just thinking about the guy's got to watch film. He's got to go to the weight room. He's got to go to boxing, apparently. He's got to go to, I'm sure they got mandatory study halls and things like that. He's got to do all the things,
Yeah, class.
and he got class
School,
and
huh? Yeah.
school, right? But he's, you know, out there in the community and the face of the program, but also like helping to recruit. Like, I mean, that's a huge deal. And Nebraska, I mean, like you said, Evan, I think we need to see a step up, like, you know, hitting all the throws when the throws are there to be made and things like that. But, you know, assuming that happens, Nebraska's really got to capitalize on these next 2 to 3 years with this guy in the captain seat.
No doubt. I mean, that's where I think a lot of that quiet confidence comes from with Matt Rhule, where, I mean, he's been an NFL coach, and he's won at the college level, and he's never really won with a quarterback like Raiola. He's had good quarterbacks, but it's often been more of a let's lean on the defense and be opportunistic with the offense and kind of wear him down and lean on the running game. And like they have a guy who can make the throws, who has the arm talent, who has the work ethic, who grew up the son of an NFL center who, you know, lived and breathed the game. He's been in the locker room with the Kansas City Chiefs just this last year on their playoff run. So like the spotlight's not too big for him. He knows how to prepare. I think the structure around him has improved this year. You've got a quarterback coach in Glenn Thomas. You've got an accomplished offensive coordinator. You have a head coach in Matt Rhule who's now a little freer to look big picture, and doesn't necessarily have to be that guy that he talks to on the sideline. So I think that part's improved, sort of the game day mechanism from, hey, here's the game, here's the play call, it's into you. You have the freedom now to adjust a call or to change plays. Like all that stuff around the play, I think is improved for Nebraska. And you know, his weapons are better too. I mean, objectively, I think the receiving core they brought in, some of the true freshmen are better. And honestly, like if I'm saying a strength of this team right now, it might be the offensive line with the depth that they have. So you feel pretty good,
Yeah, I hear
relatively
that.
speaking, that like he's going to be protected too. So, you know, here we are in the off season. It's April. But it does feel like this is a program on the rise, and there's a reason why Nebraska is showing up in some of these way too early top 25 polls, and And the reason is number 15.
For sure.
Love that. Love that. Well, you mentioned it's April and it's spring. Usually at the end of, well, not the end of April, but the end of spring ball, we have typically a spring game. Most listening right now probably know that that's not happening. But now they're doing all these other things. And we were talking about this before we started recording. I had seen the list that got linked, that got allegedly leaked about this meeting they had where they're just throwing stuff at the wall as far as ideas on what to do to replace the spring game. There's things about BMX riders, there's something about the volleyball team being involved, all these different things. Evan, can you help us make sense of this and tell us what's actually going on in place of the spring game?
Well, I think some of it's still coming together. I think some of it's probably going to be a little bit of a surprise, I mean, intentionally so from the athletic department. But we know, as far as non-football stuff, there's going to be a volleyball exhibition against Kansas. Soccer, women's soccer is going to have an exhibition. The women's flag football is going to have some sort of exhibition or game in the stadium that's going to include UNL's club team. That's a rising sport that probably eventually will be an NCAA sport. The football stuff's going to include some kind of Pro Bowl style competitions. I think they're going to have like a fastest man sort of situation, probably a little bit of 7-on-7. They're going to involve former Huskers in some capacity. I know. Like Will Compton and Jay Foreman are going to be involved, along with a number of other former players. So what form that takes, I don't know exactly. They're having this, I think they're calling it like a garage sale. So
Yes.
they're getting rid of all kinds of stuff, equipment and swag and things like that that they're trying to clear out for space so
Lamps
fans can.
from Matt
We
Rule's house.
talked about this. Like, I need to get my hands on a Matt Rule toaster. I got one of those there. Nice used
Well,
toaster. I'm in the market.
it's funny because like we were talking at the World Herald, like how are we going to cover this day because it's so different from what it's ever been. And honestly, like that's the thing to me that I want to write about is what's
Yes.
going on sale, what are fans buying, is there haggling that's occurring, is there
It's
hoarding that's going
$5.
on.
Please do it.
Like, where
I'll give
does
you
this stuff come
$5.
from? Like, that's what
I'm
interests
offering.
me. My wife's a big garage sale person. And so, like, this idea that Nebraska's having this big old thing where they just roll up the doors and say, best offer or whatever.
Got a giant box of Duke jock straps, $10.
Someone's going to buy it, man. Someone's going to buy it.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, and it all comes back to this idea that Nebraska is not having a game because the portal is the way that it is, and they don't want to put their guys out there and get them poached. But at the same time, you're in an era where you have to generate revenue. So you don't want to just say, "Eh, we're not doing anything." You want to still have something where fans can come and celebrate, where you can still generate that revenue. I know you can, for $50, you can get a tour of the new Tom Osborne Legacy Complex, which seems high to me, but it's a pretty state-of-the-art facility as well. So I'm sure that's going to draw some interest, but yeah, I think they're all, you're kind of like you said, people are throwing ideas at the wall. This is new. It's a chance to be creative, think outside the box. I don't know that it's going to scratch the football itch for the majority of fans, but hopefully it's something that you can still get a glimpse of what they have and can be sort of a fun celebration at the end of April.
Yeah. I
What
mean,
go
go
ahead.
ahead. I was just going to say, I just feel a little bit weird about it. Like, we talked about this before on the pod in the past about how we feel about the spring game, whether it moves the needle or not, that type of thing. And, we kind of came to the consensus that it was like, eh, it is what it is. Like we felt like I think we felt like we paid more attention to like the spring practice reports. And then like the actual spring game itself was just like, oh, whatever. So I just feel weird about it. Like now it's kind of one of the, I wonder if it's going to be kind of one of those things where, now that it's not going to be there or it's gone, you kind of miss it more, at least for
You're
me.
gonna be
I don't
sad.
know.
You
It's
will.
just weird not having that like fake game on in April, when you just kind of want to see Husker players and you want to see the helmets running around on the field, that kind of thing. And maybe they'll still be wearing helmets, but I don't think so with the skills things, but I don't know. It's going to be different. And I get why they're not doing it. I get all that, but
What are your
is kind of
guys's
sad.
like? I mean, I'm curious what your thoughts are, because like as a media guy, the game was whatever. I mean, it was okay, but like surely you guys have it. Like it's a different experience, right? Like you know you're not gonna leave upset necessarily unless someone gets hurt maybe or pissed. It's a chance. Like it's cheaper to take your family. It's a lower stress sort of thing. Like is it a mean has it been a meaningful time for you guys growing up or as adults with your families or how have you kind of sized up the spring game?
My parents never took me to spring games, by the way, because I grew up in a Notre Dame household. So I always relied upon like me and my buddies would go down. Like that was just an excuse just to go out like on a Saturday when it was nice out, go downtown, go watch some, fake football for a little while and then make your way down O Street. But to your point, Evan, like that was something that I have a 5-year-old son. My two daughters have been to actual Husker games, but Parker was too little that we just have never had the opportunity to take him. And the spring game was probably going to be a good way of doing that. So now that they're not going to have that anymore, that part of it kind of sucks. But at the same time, like, I don't know, he doesn't know any better anyways. If I took him down for some of those events down there, he would think that that was pretty cool too. So I'm kind of on the fence, but I don't really know if, I didn't really go a lot when I was a kid, so I don't have a ton of memories that I'm latched onto. It's like an emotional thing for me. It is what it is.
We had that. We took the kids a few times. That was kind of fun because you don't really, and when you have real little kids, you don't really care if you have to leave, after 30 minutes. When it's a real game, I don't want to do that. I've done it before when I took my daughter and she was too young and it was really hot and I'm like, I'm gonna get her out of here. But that's a perfect thing to do. You take them down, get a little bit of the experience, and then when somebody starts losing it, get out of there and go home. Because it's like the kids get in free. You paid $20 to get in the gate, and there's not as much of an investment in it, but it's a great way for the kids to see the stadium and the band and the cheerleaders and all that stuff, their Wiener Schlinger, all those fun things.
Yeah, it never did much for me. There's very rare was the year that I would like either go to it or even like sit down and watch the whole thing. Maybe I'd watch like at the beginning and then, once all the starters are out or something, I'd stop watching. But I feel like it's a loss for fans. Like it's absolutely a loss for fans, and it never replaces the fall. It's not the same thing. And even spring practice, we all like eat up all the spring practice reports, but you're just really you're buying time until the fall, right? But I think it's not exactly apples to apples, but I feel the spring game to me is always like going to the buffet and like just looking at the food. It's not the same thing as eating the food, but again, I do feel like it's a loss. And I think in the NIL transfer portal, soon to be revenue sharing era, a lot of these changes feel like they're not benefiting the fan. And I think that's what the common fan, that is. And I feel like that's what's tough to swallow, right? Like, it's if you pick out some of these things in and of themselves, I absolutely, these players are putting their bodies on the line. The universities and the conferences have been making money, and the networks and everybody's been making money off their backs for decades. Of course, they deserve to make some of that money. They're the reason the product is on the field, right? Or like, which one of us wouldn't want to have the opportunity to go to a better situation, a better job, to transfer to it? If you're not an athlete, people transfer schools all the time. Nobody bats an eye about it, right? So those things, and I think fewer restrictions and more sort of pro athlete stuff is good, I think, in general, but it sort of feels like it's out of control right now. It feels like it's the Wild West, and it definitely feels like it's not, it feels like it is to the detriment of the fan, in my opinion.
Is there an event that any of you guys would like to see during the games, quote unquote, that they're gonna put out there?
I would like to witness the garage sale, maybe like a hot dog
Yeah.
eating contest or something.
Hey, there you go. That's a
Put the
great idea.
linemen and D linemen in a hot
You
dog
couldn't
eating
partake in
contest.
that though.
That
Watch what
the
you
nutrition
don't gonna do
staff
that.
would not like
Yeah.
that though, so they wouldn't. They would
I
probably
think
wouldn't
you gotta
like
get
that.
two of those guys in like those inflatable sumo suits. And then you
What's
just
that? And there's padding there, so they're not going to get
yeah,
hurt,
that's a
doing a
good time.
non-football
That's a
activity.
good time.
I'm sort of envisioning the garage sale as like an outdoor like flea market or big market,
Yeah.
you know. You got like former players trying to sell stuff, you know,
Of their own,
like
yes.
yeah, on their own, like
Yes.
this jersey or Tommy Frazier touched this towel during a game, or you know, like stuff like that. And I'm sure that's not what it's meant to be. But between like players hawking their gear and like people, you know, just like this was an end table at Thomas Fedoni's apartment or whatever, you
Do you think
know,
there's anywhere way like way back in the storage there was some old like Apex gear? Remember before we were sponsored
Yes.
by Adidas was
Yep.
Apex?
No, it was ASICS. Wasn't it ASICS?
No, it was Apex, APEX.
I think it was ASICS. Maybe it was both.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Apex. I don't think that they la the brand lasted that long.
Okay, well, we're gonna look this up. We're gonna bring it up on the next episode,
Somebody can
Maddie.
con hit it make a comment in the video in the YouTube. Somebody
Yeah.
else is, somebody's gonna back me up.
I think you're wrong, Maddie. I will bet you a bottle of bourbon that you're wrong.
Deal.
Okay.
Deal.
Oh, wow.
Great. I hope you like
Yeah.
Old Crow.
Love Old Jerry's, is that
Evan, I got one more question for you. I wrote about this today. I was struck by Deshaun Singleton's like that whole conversation recently. And I know he's coming back. He's going to be a big contributor this year. But the part of it that jumped out to me was he said, and Matt Rhule commented, but like Singleton said something like he was sleeping great, getting ready to go to the NFL. And Rhule said when they had breakfast, he said, "Hey man, go to the league." So it's I'm not a scout. We're the common fans. We don't know what we're looking at sometimes, but it sounds like there was a confidence level that he would have a pretty good shot to go to the NFL, and he decided to come back to Nebraska instead. Same thing Ty Robinson did the year before. Same thing, you know, Javon Wright is back for like a seventh year, which I, you know, he's battled injuries, so I don't know what his NFL prospects were, but he could have gone and done other stuff with his life, and he came back. Is this a silver lining of the NIL era that guys who maybe would have said, "Yeah, I have another year of eligibility, but I'm going to go try to make money now, either in the NFL or somewhere else." Now they can say, "I can go back to school and get all the benefits of that, and get my maybe put myself in a better draft position. Also, make some decent money while I'm doing it."
Yeah, absolutely. And Singleton's situation was a little unique too, because it was made possible by the NCAA ruling that if you were if you spent time at junior college, you had an extra year. So
Right.
before that ruling in December, he was done, like out of eligibility. And so that changed the situation for him. I think rules said he had like a, you know, a third or fourth round grade, maybe as high as that, and chose, as you said, the Ty Robinson path. To come back and take sort of a fringe mid to late round stock and maybe have a chance to improve on that. And then you add kind of the other layer of intrigue with him specifically is I think they're expressing a willingness to maybe move him around a little bit more, where he'd been a safety pretty much strictly for a couple of years at Nebraska. And he had that injury a couple of years ago. That knocked him out too, but now he's going to be a little more flexible. Maybe somebody who could even be kind of a rover, or you know, come down in the box a little bit. He's always been known as being a physical, hard-hitting safety. Loves the contact. Doesn't shy away from it like maybe some defensive backs might. So he's going to be a big piece of what Nebraska has, and I think the secondary at large. Is large. Like you've got, there's a ton of guys at that position. If you scroll through the roster and you talk about just attrition that's going to come out of the spring, like I think you have to start in the secondary just because there are so many guys. And you know, Marquise Buford came back and Malcolm Hartzog came back and Sierre Wright came back. Like these are all players who could have gone pro and chose to stay. And so the guys behind them then. Are really fighting for spots that maybe would have been a lot easier to attain in a different sort of universe where different decisions were made. But yeah, I think in general, like you think about guys who left to go pro early, like, you know, Cam Jurgens a few years ago, he left with eligibility on the table. Maybe that would have been different if Nebraska said, hey, we can pay you $1 million or $800,000 or whatever to stay, you know, maybe that's different. I think that's true in other sports. I was talking about this with Sam McEwen about what about Bryce McGowan's? He was a one and done. Does he would in a if his situation was current, maybe he comes back for a second year and tries to improve a second round grade to a first round grade. So yeah, I think like the calculus that's always been there for athletes that you're used to sort of following along with is changing, because now you can make very similar money as you would as a professional doing it in college, having a chance to improve that stock and still being taken care of really well.
If you look at, the guys coming, the players coming back, you look at what a number of coaches said about the kind of leader Matt Rhule is. You look at Marcus Satterfield, who basically was demoted, not basically, was demoted, and now reports to the guy who replaced him, essentially, sticking around and saying he's the happiest he's ever been in coaching. And $1.4 million
I would be too.
will help with that, right? I mean, he's still getting his OC salary, I assume, for another year, and then they'll renegotiate, I assume. But my contention today was, and what I wrote was that there's a lot of evidence that there's a lot of belief in what Matt Rhule is building at Nebraska. Do you agree with that?
I mean, Satterfield's a good example of that. Heinrich Harburg is a good example of that, as a guy who could have transferred and been a quarterback somewhere else, chose to change positions, and they were able to retain a lot of the players that they wanted to retain. They had a good high school recruiting class. They had a good portal class. I thought what Rhule said, I think it was in February, was that when all was equal and they were going after a portal recruit, like if the money was the same, Nebraska was either winning those battles with some top end programs, or they were losing out to teams like Oregon and Ohio State and teams like in places where they wanted to be. And so I think some of that's related to what Nebraska is doing. I think some of that's related to his reputation as a program builder. Some of that's related to just sort of the natural progression of a new coaching staff. Like, you build in year one and year two, and typically if things are going well, you take off in year three. That's just kind of how it is. You add the Raiola factor to that, and people that want to play for a young quarterback for the next at least couple of years. I think all that plays into it. The fact that the Big Ten, along with the SEC, is now clearly a step above in terms of resources and CFP access. Like, there's just a lot of things going Nebraska's way, and it feels like we've said this for a long time, but like that last piece is doing it on the field. I mean, they have all the resources that you could ask for. If college football is a high stakes card game, like Nebraska's got the buy-in, now you just need to get some of the hands. And so I think that's kind of where they are right now. They feel like they're in a good position to do it. And man, it's going to be a fun season. I think the tone has shifted from like developmental and we're getting there to there's a sense of urgency. The sign in the facility says win. It doesn't say, some of the stuff that maybe they were saying a couple of years ago, although that's still there. Like, they get 1% better every day and things like that's still there. But the overriding message is win, is get the result that they're pouring into every day.
Maddie O and I have both have that similar smile on our face. Like, we can't wait for them to go 11-1 this year.
Yeah. See,
That's
I
what
was
that
thinking,
smile
like,
is.
see, Evan was talking there, and I kind of got lost in his beautiful eyes, and I thought,
Yeah.
we're going to the CFP. We're going
That's
to the
right.
CFP.
I'm so damn
Indiana just did
poetic.
it.
But
Indiana did it.
the pilot
The
light
pilot
came alive in
light,
your soul,
the
Maddie
pilot light in my soul has been
O.
lit. Your guys' pilot lights never go out, man. You've got the enthusiasm all
EJ
the
tries to snuff mine out from time to time,
time.
but I won't let him. Right? I
Yeah,
won't let you, EJ.
you deserve it, Jeff.
Yeah,
You deserve
whatever.
it. Oh, Matt, Jeff, anything else for our distinguished guest this evening?
I have two things. Okay.
Oh,
One,
man.
I didn't get to ask you about it, but I'm just going to say this right now. The one thing I noticed from that Holgorsen press conference is and maybe it was just me, but I felt like he mentioned Luke Lindenmeyer a lot. Don't you think? Like, he seems pretty high on him, which I thought was pretty significant. He mentioned him quite a bit. So I'm going to say it right now. We're going to see a big year from Luke this year. I have a feeling you're going to see good things from him. I'm going to predict that right now.
Look at Jeff
Yeah.
doing his homework.
Look at that.
I did
Duly
my
noted.
homework.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
indeed. Two, do you watch Andor, Evan?
I know what it's about, but I have not. No,
Ah,
unfortunately.
see, take that, TJ. Take that. Take that.
For those of you Star Wars fans, if you're into the shows or willing to try the shows, Andor is by far the best. It's so
I heard that.
good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so
It's
well
very good.
done.
I will vouch
And
for that. It's very good.
it's all to me, it's important. It's tied to the original story, right? Like
Yes.
it's so closely tied to ultimately the story of Rogue One, which leads into A New Hope, et
Rogue One
cetera.
was
So
great. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. If you like Rogue One, you'll love Andor.
Okay.
And I'm rewatching season one because season two is about to come out later this month. So everybody watch
TJ
Andor.
is just harping on me to watch it because I haven't watched it yet. And he assured me,
Jeff,
he's
it's
like,
because I care
Evan's
about you as
watched
a
Andor
person.
for sure.
I care about you as a person. I
I want
want
to
you to
know.
enjoy it. I want
I
you
will
to
watch it
enjoy
when
it.
I
And I
get
know
to
you're going to love it. And you're going to say, oh
it.
my gosh, TJ, I can't believe how much I love this show. I can't believe it took me this long. You were right. Thank you so
Would
much.
kill
That's what
him
you're
to
going to
put
say.
one lightsaber in it. Just one. Just put a
Oh,
lightsaber in the show.
jeez.
That's what I need.
Just get your
Just
toy lightsaber and set it with you on the couch when you watch,
saying.
okay?
We have one of those.
I bet you do. Evan, awesome to have you with us,
Thank you,
man.
Evan.
Yeah, thanks,
Always a
Evan.
pleasure. Thank
So
you,
great to
guys.
see
This is
you.
fun. No, it's good to just chop it up for a little bit, especially in the off season, a little more relaxed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
Yeah, our
absolutely.
pleasure.
No, always love having you. I think it's either you or Brandon. But I think it's you. I think you are the guest who's been on the Common Fan podcast the
The
most.
most.
Has to be.
Gotta be.
So
Yeah.
that's worth a green jacket or something. I don't know
Yeah.
what, but that's
Or
worth something.
socks. Do we get him some
Yeah.
socks yet? We gotta get Evan some
I'd take
socks.
some Common Fan socks.
Give the
Yeah.
man some
Yeah.
socks.
Yeah.
Give him some
Yeah.
socks.
All right.
Let's
We'll
get him some
definitely get you some
socks. We'll
socks.
get you some
All right.
socks.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks for hanging with us, Common Fans. You know, we'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Thank you.